Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Tuesday edition of the program. So glad to have you with us here on the Big X for the Hoosier Report. We do this each weekday at 11 a.m. with complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. And this morning, no surprise, I think we all felt like it was coming. The Indiana-Purdue, the bucket game, has been called off for a second time in the same number of weeks. So there will be no Indiana football game again this weekend, this Friday night. And Indiana's a regular season. It is effectively over. Now we wait to see what happens as college football and the regular seasons and some of the championships of conferences are played and things come to a close. We'll find out the fate of Indiana football. So nothing else this Indiana football program can do to help itself this season. Nothing else they can do to help themselves as far as a bowl game is concerned. They have done and completed a very successful regular season in a crazy, crazy year against an all Big Ten schedule. They'll finish 6-1 and losing just one game on the season. That was that Purdue contest that very likely would have been a win. And of course, it was the crossover game as well, part of Big Ten Champions Week. But again, what a year for Indiana football. And we'll see now what happens. Can they work themselves into a New Year's Six Bowl? There seems to be a lot of thought that they can. Maybe some of it could depend on with Indiana not playing any more games. And I'm not even sure the win over Purdue, had the game been played and Indiana finished 7-1. I'm not sure that would have moved the needle any further. A lot of this could have to do with what happens with other teams in the close of their season, some of the other teams that are in consideration for a New Year's Six Bowl. So big season for the Hoosiers, big stuff for the Hoosiers. Interesting to see there have been some kind of off-the-field stuff in addition to COVID that's hit the program, some off-the-field stuff. Kane Womack, as we discussed yesterday on the show, he is leaving to take over the South Alabama job. That's obviously a loss for Indiana, but it's a good thing. In basketball and football, when you have key assistant coaches that are leaving the program to take head coaching jobs, obviously it means that your program is finding success and reaching a good level, and that's what's happening there with Womack and other assistants that have left. And then, of course, yesterday, the word that freshman wide receiver Rashawn Williams has entered the transfer portal. He's the player that when he came to Indiana, now I know he hasn't really played, I don't know that he's logged any official minutes in any of Indiana football games so far this season, but he came coming into the program was the highest ranked player that Indiana had ever landed. And so when you've got a guy that comes in with that strong of a high school career behind him, I'm sure that he thought, we thought, everybody thought that he would be logging some serious minutes for this football team this season. But it, obviously Indiana has some other options, some older options, some more experienced options at that position, and it just didn't work out for him, at least this freshman year, to see action for Indiana. Now, you would think moving forward there would be some opportunities, but there are also another recruit, some other guys back that could make that path even congested for him. So we'll see. By entering the portal, it doesn't necessarily mean you're gone, but by entering the portal, obviously things aren't going the way he wants them to go at Indiana, and so we'll see if he does go somewhere else. I'd say there's a pretty good chance he's all but gone, which is disappointing, I think, if you're an Indiana football fan, because with where Indiana, the program, is at and all the publicity the program has received and the accolades that Tom Allen has set himself up for this coming offseason. I think you want to see more recruits like Williams commit and come to the program of that caliber, of that level, that had some of the other big-time Division I football offers he had. So disappointing, I'd say, that he's leaving, but obviously there are other reasons there, I'm sure, that he's leaving. And Indiana, it's not like the cupboard is bare. They have some guys coming in and a guy coming back in that position that I'm sure he knows he'll be fighting with. So that's what's up with Indiana football. Obviously nothing bigger than the IU-Purdue game called off for the second week in the row. No surprise, every Big Ten team that's had a COVID pause, at least so far, as this regular season gets ready to come to a close this weekend, everyone has had 2 weeks off. They've missed two games, basically 2 weeks. And so that continues to be the case for Indiana and for Purdue. And I know those were hopeful that this game would have a chance to be played on Friday. Obviously mutually agreed that it would be canceled for the second time in the second week here. And obviously they're doing it early in the week because they know there's no chance. There has been an uptick for sure in cases among both of those programs, and so that game called off. Let's take a look at the show lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a few moments. We'll talk IU basketball, college hoops, and some high school basketball notes in this opening segment. Later in the show, we'll be joined in segment two today by Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, a sports columnist with the Star. He's with us Tuesdays as we talk everything from IU football to basketball and a lot more, and I'm sure we'll head down those familiar paths with Greg today when he logs in for the second segment. And then coming up later in the program today, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. He's always our guest on Tuesday. We talk IU football and basketball with him. Indiana basketball, we think, gearing up for a game Saturday in the Crossroads Classic, a two-game event against Butler. We know that Butler's had some issues. We're keeping a close eye on Butler and their upcoming game. I think it's Wednesday night. They're scheduled to play Villanova. If that game happens, you feel a lot better that the Indiana Butler game is going to happen on Saturday. There have been some rumors. There have been some words out there that this game could be called off. And I tell you what, the IU fans, if we lose football on Friday night, which is off the table now, and you lose basketball on Saturday, you have a very uneventful Hoosier sports weekend if that were to happen, because with this overlap of Big Ten football and the start of the college basketball season, it's been a lot of fun. We've been overloaded with basketball and football and had some heavy weekends of sports, and it's really been tremendous. But we'll see what happens. Still keeping an eye on Butler. They play Villanova before they get to the Hoosiers on Saturday. We'll see what happens with that. But we'll start to talk about the game with Mike when he joins us, because we have no football game to start the preview this week. So we'll talk a little bit about the upcoming Butler matchup for Indiana, a little bit about the Big Ten Conference, because Indiana really close to beginning conference play this season. And again, I mentioned that Michigan Penn State game on Sunday, and that marks the start of the Big Ten season. You're going to see some more Big Ten results, more Big Ten games here coming up in the next few days and over the next few weeks as Indiana joins the party coming up here, a week and a half from now, I believe, with their first Big Ten competition of the season. 2 days before Christmas, if I remember correctly, against Northwestern to start the year for the Hoosiers. So the conference year will be here before you know it. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check out our dinner package deals that are now being offered at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service, it's available as well if you call ahead at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news brought to you by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Number of things to get to today. First off, Trace Jackson Davis, according to Archie Miller in a little clip that he put up yesterday, he is once again the winner of the gold jersey from IU practices for this past week, and that's no surprise based on how he's been playing to lead Indiana to start the year, but a highlight video of him doing some work in practice. Also a Big Ten note, and I'm glad to see this, but the Big Ten ACC Challenge game between Wisconsin and Louisville has been officially rescheduled for Saturday. So a Saturday noon game. I think this is going to be a good one. Wisconsin and Louisville was very much looking forward to that last week in the middle of the Big Ten ACC event. It didn't happen. Both teams had some issues. I think maybe specifically Louisville had issues with COVID-19. Not sure that Wisconsin's had anything so far to speak of, but they're going to get that game in on Saturday, and that will be the final game of the series between the two big conferences here in this early season event. Also, the first NCAA men's basketball net ratings, the NET rankings, are scheduled to be released on January 4th, according to Andy Katz, and that will be interesting to see where Indiana places that. I've kept a close eye on their computer ratings. KenPom, Bart Torvik, there's others out there you can look at as well. And Indiana's got some pretty decent numbers. The net ratings obviously replace the RPI as far as a major factor for what the NCAA selection committee uses to pick the at-large teams. And so in this crazy year of college hoops where you're playing a high major schedule, you have very few cupcake games, this net ranking could be very interesting to follow and could break a lot of the ties and help with some of the tough decisions that the committee is going to have this year. And so we'll keep a close eye on those, especially this season, and the first edition of those rankings set to be out on January 4th. At that point, Indiana will be 3 or 4 games into Big Ten play, in addition to the non-conference activity so far for Indiana. So we'll get a read on where the net rankings have them in a pretty good situation coming up here a little bit after the holidays. Noah Vonleh, former Hoosier, he's got COVID-19. He announced in a statement yesterday that was released to Yahoo Sports. He said that he's tested positive for COVID, and so his short time with the Bulls, he had, I don't know what you call the contract he had, if it was one of those short couple-week deal early in the season, but nonetheless, it's come to an end. And so we'll see now for Vonleh if he's able to pick up with another NBA team. I would think he would have the opportunity possibly to do that. I'm not exactly sure, but I would think he's got some years ahead of him if he gets the right situation in the NBA. Not sure that he'll be obviously a star or be someone that sees a lot of minutes, but a roster player, I would think that he has a chance to lock in with somebody. And so it'll be interesting to see what's next basketball-wise for Vonleh, the former Hoosier. A couple other notes here in our headlines segment brought to you by Zaxby's. I mentioned this yesterday, but I wanted to mention it again today here in the headlines. 5-star senior Aminu Muhammad, he's going to make a decision on December 21st, according to his guardian, Sean Harmon. Now, he's playing in Springfield, Missouri. This is his final year of high school basketball. There were rumors that he might, in fact, it had been mentioned by his guardian, that he might leave high school in January at the holiday break and reclassify and come to a college campus immediately over the holidays and be ready to go for second semester. He nixed that in a recent interview with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. It sounds like Muhammad, as long as they continue to play basketball in Missouri, as far as high school goes, his senior year, that he's going to finish things out in high school and enter college after he graduates in the spring or summer of this upcoming year. So we'll see what happens. Of course, Indiana in a reasonable position with Muhammad. The problem is he has so many other schools after him, and this COVID stuff has shut it down where you really don't have a great read on him. He's been to Indiana for a game. He seems to have a good relationship with Archie Miller and some of the assistant coaches that have been involved in his recruitment process, but he has so many schools after him. And he's not from the area. There's no sources here. His guardians kept things pretty well locked down. All the quotes that you read from him are very basic about what he's looking for. And relationships with the coaches are going to be very instrumental in his upcoming decision. They really haven't given anything away. But Indiana does seem to be in a strong place. There doesn't seem to be any school that could sit here at this moment and feel really good about Muhammad as far as what's being put out, at least. And so we'll see. It may go all the way down to the wire before we know. But coming up in about a week, December 21st, he will make his decision. And it's really interesting, and I know Indiana fans are antsy about his decision because I don't know that anyone feels like it's a lock Indiana gets him. But with only one recruit in the 2021 class, one of the things Archie Miller has been big on is keeping the recruiting classes balanced. That's something that Tom Crean did not always balance out as far as the number of players in each class. And that seems to be a real priority for Archie Miller to have old players on the team, to see players advance from their freshman year to their senior year if they're going to be four-year college hoops players. And so Indiana really could use another addition in the 2021 class. Now, last week, Brian Snow said he fully expects Indiana to hit the transfer market hard, and that's another way to add players to a specific class. But we'll see what happens with Muhammad and if Indiana ultimately down the line has a chance to land his services. A couple other headlines to mention to you. High school basketball, there is word that Trey Kaufman may return to play this weekend when Silver Creek hosts Jeffersonville on Friday. By the way, that's a game that we'll broadcast here on the Big X. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star caught up briefly with Kaufman up in Southport over the weekend when Silver Creek was playing against Fort Wayne Blackhawk without Kaufman, and he mentioned that the plan is to return for Friday. When you hear Brandon Hoffman talk, I read a story today in the News and Tribune, he's a little bit more guarded about when perhaps his return could be, that they fully want Trey to be healthy before he's back. So we'll see Friday night if Trey makes a return to the lineup for the Jeffersonville game. And, of course, that should be a good one. We'll find out a lot more about Jeff, and they've got Will Lovings-Watts and Brandon Razor Moore and some other players of interest. We know Silver Creek with Cooper Jacoby and Brandon Northern have really stepped up and filled in Trey's absence. But with Trey possibly back, that could be a humdinger of a game, a tough one for Jeff no matter what, whether Kaufman plays or not. But it would be interesting to see the Devils take on a fully loaded Silver Creek team on Friday. We'll have to see who shows up for the Dragons if Kaufman is able to play. Also, I want to mention that Silver Creek, after two losses this weekend, again, without Kaufman, to very good teams, North Harrison on Friday, and then on Saturday to number 1 and 2A, Fort Wayne Blackhawk, the Dragons dropped to number 8 in the IBCA poll, the most recent IBCA poll. We should see the Associated Press poll out sometime later today. And number 1, Carmel, they come to town on Saturday to take on New Albany, who's still in the top 20 after a split this weekend, a win over Floyd Central, a loss, a bad win at Zionsville on Saturday. So we'll have Jeff at Silver Creek on Friday here on the Big X. Going to be limited attendance at that game, and obviously the New Albany hosting Carmel game, pretty limited as well. They can have 1,000 at the doghouse, a little bit more than what will be allowed for the Jeff Silver Creek game on Friday. But we'll be at both of those games this weekend, and we'll have full play-by-play coverage from those games coming up as well. We'll head to a commercial break. That's our Zaxby's headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. I saw this earlier. Indiana women, they are going to add a game. They'll host Tennessee, which has a great, strong tradition in women's college basketball, at 4 p.m. Thursday in Assembly Hall. It was announced on Coach Morin's radio program earlier this week. And that's just a reminder, another reminder of what this season's going to be like. Games get canceled, and you add an opponent to the schedule that you never had any intention of playing this year. So the Indiana women will host Tennessee coming up on Thursday in a new addition to the schedule. We're back with Greg Doyle in the next segment. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins. We're going to start with some IU football and get into other topics here in this segment. But, Greg, the Hoosiers, the regular season's over with. They complete the season 6-1. They're ranked number 7 in the AP poll. And as I think we all expected, a second try at the Indiana-Purdue game. This time it was scheduled for Friday evening is off because both teams continue to have an uptick with COVID-19 cases.
Yeah, I suspect when the Big Ten came out with their Champions Week, whatever they'll call this thing, and IU and Purdue agreed to play, I suspect that was just a placeholder. You know, they wanted to have all teams accounted for in that nice little diagram they put out to the media. We could tweet out a picture. Here's all the matchups. I suspect both programs were like, it's not going to happen, but you can put us up there for now, but it's not going to happen. And I'm just well, glad's the wrong word, but it's good that it's universal that both sides agreed to this. It would just, you know, if Purdue did, was the team not playing, you know, IU fans would wonder, are you ducking us because we're going to beat you? And same thing with IU fans. So anyway, I'm not glad they're both dealing with the virus, but it's just, it probably makes it for a much cleaner ending that they both, you know, agreed to cancel it.
Greg, we've had lots of good words to say on this program, and you have written as well about Tom Allen, about Indiana football this season, and in many ways it's been a dream year for the Hoosiers. It started off, this was a hopeful year for Indiana going all the way back to last offseason. And then, of course, you figure out that we are going to be able to play football after lots of direction here, direction there, and it's going to be against an all-Big Ten schedule. And my reaction to that was, okay, things are going to get a lot tougher for Indiana. They may not have the year that they thought. This may not be an extra special year because it's going to be all against Big Ten competition, and that's just tough. And if you're someone that follows Indiana or is a fan of Indiana, you know that Indiana's been close against Penn State and Ohio State and some of the Michigan, but they hadn't gotten past them this year. That changed at least against two of those schools that I named. So all Big Ten season, I know the argument from some is that the Big Ten isn't as strong, as specifically the division that Indiana competes in isn't as strong as what it normally is. But against an all Big Ten schedule to finish 6-1 and number 7 in the country and have legitimate hopes and possibilities for a New Year's Six Bowl, I just think we need to reflect on this regular season for just a minute for Coach Allen and the crew.
Yeah, holy cow. You can only play who's on your schedule, and you can only beat them, and that's what they've done, except for Ohio State, and they almost beat them. So it's a remarkable season. And, you know, if Penn State and Michigan, and even Michigan State, if they're not up to par, well, shame on them, because they've got all the wind in their sails. And IU, as we're seeing, with the Big Ten changing the rules last minute and deciding Ohio State can play after all for the title, and with the College Football Playoff Committee, chaired by the Iowa AD, deciding as of now IU is number 12, just barely maybe in the year six bowl, maybe. We're seeing that when you're IU, the wind is in your face. And to go 6-1 with the wind in your face, and you know, a couple more years like this, the wind will start evening out. But right now, the wind's in your face, and that's just the way it is. And they've still done what they've done. And they've done what they've done. They got one of their biggest wins of the year. In hindsight, cause we can look at, you know, who's good, who's not, and all this, but they went on the road and beat Wisconsin with a backup quarterback. So it's a remarkable year, and Tom Allen will be one of the most coveted guys this offseason until teams learn that his bio is $18 million, and then I don't know. As good as he is, I'm not sure anybody has that kind of money floating around during a pandemic when revenue's down across the country at historic levels for colleges. And I'm not sure he wants to leave anyway. So it's kind of the perfect storm for the IU to be this good this year. And it's kind of the perfect storm also for them to keep Tom Allen beyond this year.
You mentioned the buyout last week, and I knew he had a buyout. I knew it was a big one. I didn't know it was 18-something million dollars. I had a couple people after we talked last Tuesday say, do you know, does Greg know, you know, most of the times buyouts are structured where over time they start to go down. Do you know what it drops to next year? Is it set up in that situation where each year moving forward, that thing drops down a bit as his contract moves forward?
I don't know. Zach Osterman, our IU beat writer, is one that told me about the $18 million. But given how big that number is and given the shape of it, and given that it was like 18.5 or something like that, my suspicion is the way it normally works is that they structure it. It's based on how many years you have left in your contract, and if that number, 4 years, for example, times maybe your base salary, times your base salary minus this, minus that, for Allen's thing to be $18 million, I suspect it's every year left in his contract multiplied by, you know, the worth of it. So if it's $18 million this year, I don't know this, but if I had to bet money, I'd bet it's going to be about $14 next year, which is still astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
But I suspect it'll be $14 next year, and I'll tell you this. It won't be 14 next year. Whatever happens this offseason, let's assume he comes back. And I think he'd come back anyway. I think he's a state guy. I think he wants to stay here. I think Indiana's the job he wants. I mean, I think he'll be here. But IU will do something to show him, we sure are glad you're here, and that will include restructuring the contract. So whatever it looks like next year is just window dressing, because in about a month and a half, it'll be different.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to be interesting to see when the first school, whether it's just flirtations, even despite the $18 million buyout, or whether it's something serious and somebody really wants him, And as you said, during a pandemic with college athletic departments struggling across the board, really, if somebody were to have some crazy idea of throwing that kind of money around, it'll be really interesting to see how he handles it from a PR standpoint and also from a business standpoint. I'm like you. If I had to bet on that, I would bet that Tom Allen, with what he's building and what he's got going and everything else we know about him, I think he will build on his message, this LEO, build Indiana football into something it's not been or never been before. I think he'll nix that pretty quick. We'll see. But that will be interesting to see when somebody does flirt with him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there are certain jobs that for certain people that you almost couldn't replicate it somewhere else. Now, Mark Few at Gonzaga, I suspect he could replicate that anywhere. I suspect he's so good it doesn't matter. But we'll never find out because he didn't want to find out. There are certain jobs, and this is apples and oranges, and but it's the only expertise I can speak of about this, and it's mine. I couldn't go to the Knoxville newspaper and replicate the experience I've had here and be as good there as I think I am here. I just, you know, this for me, and again, this is just for me, but I think there could be a parallel here. For me, the state's home and I poured everything into it. Once you've said the things I said, you can't just pick up and say them again in Tennessee. And I think that's kind of where Tom Allen is that he's done what he's done. He's done it right here. This is his state, Leo, all that stuff. I just don't know that he can go somewhere else. Like look at PJ Fleck at Minnesota. You know, what he had was special at Western Michigan and he took the first job that paid him some money and it hasn't worked out. And it just, Dan Munson, when he was at Gonzaga basketball, you know, he was, I think, the first one that really got Gonzaga basketball going. Barry Collier got Butler basketball going. They went somewhere else and they couldn't replicate what they had. And sometimes you can. I'm not saying no one ever leaves and succeeds. There's a lot of stories. I mean, you know, Nick Saban started at, I think, Toledo, and you see where he ends up. People can move it on, whatever. But for me, everything is unique. And I do think Tom Allen is an Indiana guy, and he's done it here. And I'm not sure he could go with a straight face and play the Leo game at Texas. I just don't know if it works anywhere else.
Greg, two other quick IU football topics before we move on to something else. Can you imagine had the Big Ten – this just came to me as we were talking also. Can you imagine if the Big Ten had not decided to place Ohio State over Indiana in the Big Ten championship game and had Indiana had the opportunity to be in that championship game? Because that's this weekend, right? I mean, it's Saturday in Indianapolis. Indiana would not have been able to play. Am I right there? If this COVID thing had played out as it has with the Purdue game?
Oh, wow. It is this weekend. It is in Indianapolis.
I mean, the crossover week, this started off as this east-west idea, which I know it didn't work out necessarily that way, but the championship game is this weekend, I believe, right?
Oh, it's Saturday night. Yeah, you're right. And we have to believe, because IU and Purdue have said it's for mutual reasons it's not going to happen. Listen, but we don't know. You don't know. It's very possible that Purdue and Indiana, and I suspect this is the truth, that Purdue and Indiana have various levels of whatever they've got. And Brom and Allen spoke by phone. I mean, I'm just guessing. But, you know, I've been around for a while, and this is common sense. I suspect they talked by phone and just decided, let's just not. You know, neither one of us has anything to gain. Purdue doesn't want to play limited and lose, and IU doesn't want to play limited and risk losing everything. So point is, we have no idea if IU could have played in the Big Ten championship game.
Right.
I don't think you can say they're not playing this weekend, therefore it's a good thing they're out. No, I suspect that had been. I suspect you'd see him on the field at 8 p.m. against Northwestern if they had that chance.
It is interesting to think about. We'll never know. Yeah. It's never a reason to know, but. What could have happened, what possibly could have happened would have been interesting. One other thing with IU football, I'm sure you saw this, but freshman wide receiver Rashawn Williams, who was the highest ranked, for whatever that's worth, a player in IU football history to sign with the program. I don't think he's seen any minutes this season because Indiana has some other options at that position that have done well. But he's going to enter the transfer portal. Now, that doesn't mean, as I said in the first segment, that he's leaving for sure, but it's not a good sign. He came in with a lot of talent and a big high school career behind him and things just haven't worked out. Interesting with all the positive Tom Allen IU football stuff that here's one story that's just not working out for a young man that had all sorts of potential and possibilities.
Yeah, and if I'm an IU fan, I mean, initially your initial reaction is, well, shoot, I assumed that guy was going to be really good, and I'm disappointed that he's not going to be really good for us. But go one step farther than that, or to see it kind of more coldly as I do it, as a, you know, not terribly neutral. I want IU to do well, but more neutral than a, you know, than an IU fan. And I'm seeing a guy that wasn't good enough for all the hype, wasn't good enough to get on the field this year, and looks at who's coming back and maybe even who's coming in and maybe even who's in the room with him right now, other redshirting freshmen, and doesn't think he's going to play much next year and wants to go somewhere else where he can play. Because there's no way – I mean, here's a kid that came to IU and has watched the greatest season in IU football history unfold and has watched it unfold with a coach that the whole country loves, and you can't tell me that's not genuine. There's just no – I will never – you know, I don't – you know, you learn not to say absolutes in this business, but I'm pretty sure I will never read a story that says, behind the scenes, Tom Allen was hated. We're never going to read that story because it's not true. So if that kid with that hype thinks – he's better off somewhere else than here at this time in the program's history. Good riddance. Good riddance. And you probably weren't that good to begin with. You're overhyped. Good. Get the hell out. Don't let the doorknob hit you on the way out.
Hey, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star with us. Let's get into IU basketball for a moment. You know, lots of discussion in the offseason. Who was going to step up and help Trace Jackson Davis this season? Who was going to make that big jump? Was it going to be Race Thompson, maybe a healthy Jerome Hunter? Is he ready to get back in the swing of things and become really a primetime player for Indiana? And I think everything we mentioned still a possibility, still too early to know. Let's get into the Big Ten and see how things play out and who's stepping up to help Trace. But Armond Franklin, a guy that maybe wasn't in that mix of possibilities to be that guy with Trace Jackson Davis leading the way and very consistent, he might be a front runner if I had to pick right now based on his performances. And it wasn't just against North Alabama, I believe it was, already forgotten, on Sunday in a bye game for the Hoosiers, but he's been consistent at the Maui Invitational in the Florida State game for Indiana this year, and it's going to be interesting to see if he can keep up what he's done so far, because if he does, he's going to become a very, very valuable piece of this IU basketball team.
Yeah, I feel like I've told you this before. I think I've said it to you once. I know I've said it out loud one time. I don't know who else I would have said this to if it wasn't you, and I don't expect you to remember it. But it was preseason or, you know, last year. I think I told you, with Armond Franklin, I don't see it. I don't, you know, I said that Archie signed him and he had big numbers at Cathedral and all that, but based on what I've seen, I don't see it. And well, that would, you know, and whether I was right or wrong at the time, I was clearly wrong in the big picture, because I see it now. I see it. I see why he's here. He's the kind of guy he's gonna stuff the stat sheet. He's gonna rebound. He's gonna get assists. You know, the one thing, he hasn't started knocking down shots yet, and I don't expect him to be Steph Curry, but I know he can shoot better than he's shown. But yeah, he's gonna be a guy. He's gonna flirt with the triple doubles. While he's here, it's going to happen. It's probably going to happen a few times. He's going to get a few triple doubles. So yeah, he has emerged as he and Race Thompson both. I mean, you knew someone had to, but I don't know that Race and Armond Franklin would have been one and two on your list. Like, I think people would have thought, well, Fennessy, now that, you know, the concussion's gone, maybe he's going to explode, or Jerome Hunter with all that health, and people say he's a future pro, he's going to explode, or, you know, Christian Lander, maybe he's going to come in and show that, whoa, or Mr. Basketball, Anthony Leal, or somebody else, or Al Durham's a senior, he's going to score 15 a game. I don't think anybody really would have thought. I don't know how much money you could have made if you'd bet that the best numbers 2 and 3 on this year's team would have been Race Thompson and Armond Franklin. I don't think you could have got a lot of money with that bet.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, I got two quick hitters for you before we end today. A week from today, I don't know what you've got or where you'll be, and I know it's a different time as far as covering sports in person, but Blackford High School comes south to New Albany. At least it's on the schedule. Let's hope everybody stays healthy for a game. So Luke Brown, of course, without the legendary coach Jerry Hoover, who took retirement before the season because of this COVID stuff and his age and health condition. But they're coming down to New Albany to play at the House of Romeo a week from tonight.
Yeah, what's the crowd – what's allowed down there?
Right now it's 1,000. That's the maximum in Floyd County. It's a little less in Clark County, where Jeffersonville and Silver Creek and – other local schools are at. But right now the doghouse can have 1,000 people based on a certain percentage of the gym's capacity.
Yeah, I don't know what that looks like, that 1,000 looks like, but that's, how do I say this? That's terrible. That's terrible. That's terrible. Sorry, but that's terrible. Indoors, 1,000 people in a gym. That's terrible. I don't know what else to say. But, yeah, Luke Brown will be there. I won't, clearly. You look, I'm just shaking my head. If we were on Skype, you'd see. I'm just shaking my head at this because the stories are what they are. The news is what it is. And the surge is terrible and getting worse. And people are dying. And in our state alone, you know, we're breaking records in Indiana every day or almost every day. And you're telling me they're – and it's not even like they're making much money. It's not like, yeah, well, that's it's Big Ten basketball and IU needs – you know, they're $25 a ticket and they're – I mean, what are they getting? $5 a ticket?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that $5,000 plus the popcorn you sell? Is that worth the people that are gonna? And it's gonna happen. People are gonna get sick from in that building. We might never know where. You know, my dad got COVID, and he came off a heart attack and a stroke down in Florida, and was very, very careful, and he has no idea where he got it from. So you know, we're never gonna know where you got it. But you just kind of know without knowing that there are going to be people walk out of that gym that sick that weren't sick before.
Is that
worth it? Sorry.
I know a lot of schools. In fact, I was at Zionsville up your way on Saturday. They were 4 parents per student athlete. Some counties are 2. Clark County had been parents only 2 per student until something changed in their metrics to start December or earlier this month. They've allowed not the same capacity as Floyd County, but more people. I think it's maybe 600-700, depending on the size of your gym. But Floyd County has been a little higher capacity based on your total number allowed. You know, 1,000 is that number for New Albany. So the New Albany-Floyd Central game, Greg, you know a little something about that from your Romeo coverage. It was Friday at New Albany, and I'm guessing that most of the 1,000 tickets were there. I don't think all were that were sold for that game. And there's some space, there's ways to spread out, but you just don't know how this thing circulates in the air when it comes down to it.
You just don't know. I hope everybody goes, I mean, wear your mask. It's not a hoax. There are people out there that say masks don't work, and those people are idiots. And I don't mean like regular people. I mean, there are people that you think be in charge. There are people advising certain folks that say they're not sure if masks work. It's been thoroughly debunked. At this point, that's like saying no, the Easter Bunny's coming. No, that's been debunked. There is no Easter Bunny. There's not one. The kind of people that would say, and I'm talking about high-ranking people. I don't mean people like me and you, but I mean in government. The kind of people that say the masks were not sure they work, or those are the kind of people that said this virus will be gone the day after the election. I mean, those are the folks that are allowing 1,000 people into a gym, the folks that think this is okay, those are the people that have been wrong every step of the way. This wasn't just the flu back in March. And death rates were low, and it's not going to kill anybody. That's not true anymore. And it's going to be gone on November 4th, and that's not true. And the vaccine is just everybody that wants to be on the wrong side of this has been wrong every step of the way. And I don't know how many people have to die before we decide, wow, you know what, maybe all these wrong people, we're going to stop listening to them. And if I'm one of these wrong people, maybe I'm going to stop being wrong. Maybe I'm going to admit defeat, and it's okay, admit that I was wrong. And I'm going to start trying to actually help out, not just me, my family, but help out my community by behaving in a way that will help out. And 1,000 people showing up in an enclosed gymnasium Matt, I'm disgusted by that. I'm sorry. I just am.
Greg, I got to ask you before we go. This is my second quick hitter. I hope it's okay to ask. We talk a lot of non-sports and getting, especially surrounding the pandemic we have, but when Greg Doyle can get the test, when it gets to that point in our society that a healthy, your age, can get it, will you go take the vaccine? I'm curious.
Oh, God, yes. That's not even a question. And by the way, real quick, I had a story last week that went nuts, and it was a story about how we're playing basketball in a surge, and is that appropriate? And I don't know, but I went to the hospital for routine stuff, and I'm fine. I talked to 2 nurses there. One of them hasn't been tested for the virus since May. One of them hadn't been tested at all. They said, the hospital told us we don't have the money to test. Meanwhile, we're testing college basketball players and even managers, you know, three times a week, four times a week, but our nurses aren't getting tested. How insane is, I mean, talk about priorities getting screwed up. Mm-hmm. But am I going to get a vaccine? Yeah, let me ask you something. When you ask me what 2 + 2 is, do I tell you 4? Yeah, I tell you 4. Of course I'm getting a vaccine. And 3 × 3 = 9. And yes, I'm getting it. 6 / 2 = 3. I can do this all day long. Am I going to get a vaccine? Of course I am. People are writing stories. And the New York Times and Washington Post and websites are writing stories about why do people believe in – why do people want to believe in conspiracy theories? And it's because they grab on something that they realize that most folks don't believe, and they think – I'm smarter than everybody else because look what I know. And that's what's going on here. It's a conspiracy theory. And no, I'm too smart for, okay, you're smart, right. Okay, you're smarter than the leading epidemiologist at Yale and Harvard. Like, okay, you're smarter than all of them because some idiot on Facebook says he's not going to take a vaccine because you can get sick from it. Okay, you're not smarter. And don't think you're smarter. So just every now and then, just swallow some pride and do what people tell you to do. You buckle up, I guess. You stop at a red light. People tell you to do that. Take your goddamn vaccine.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, thanks as always for the chat, and we'll do it again next week.
Yeah, sorry for that curse word, Douglas.
Douglas shakes his head, okay. All right, Greg, thank you. Bye-bye. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Head to a commercial break, come back. Final segment today, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com joins the program. IU-Purdue football's off, Indiana Butler in basketball Saturday. We'll talk all of that and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment today. It's a quick one with Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. We'll touch on IU football, and we'll talk a little IU basketball in this segment as well. Greg, I think everything I've said, everyone we've talked to, no surprise really that Indiana and Purdue football won't happen on Friday.
Yeah, it was two teams with issues, so you knew the odds were double that something wasn't going to work out. I don't think it worked out for either side. No word of any of either team resuming practice, and that's what had to happen. You had to have two notices of that happening when we had zero. And maybe this is why they were scheduled to play on Friday a day early. Two teams that might not be able to play, you don't want both, causing two games to be canceled. In this way, one game gets canceled.
Talking to Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. What's the word, your thoughts on IU Butler from a men's basketball perspective? Butler's had some issues, but they are scheduled, I believe it's still on, to play Villanova this week before Indiana.
Yeah, if that one happens, I mean, you would definitely expect that the IU game will happen. And as far as we know, that game is still on, so that's a good sign that, things will happen. I mean, I think both the women's and men's basketball teams of Butler have had issues over the last week. But assuming it happens, and that's really good tune-up for Indiana to get ready for the Big Ten. I don't know if Butler is going to be about a 5 or 6 point underdog, but it's a lot better than playing North Alabama in terms of getting ready for the start of the Big Ten, which is coming up on the 23rd.
Mike, Indiana is 4-2. The loss at Florida State, I don't think bothers people. It was a good Florida State team. Indiana was very competitive in that game. The game against Texas, it was a blowout loss, 66-44. We know how good Texas played in that game and how good they've looked so far this season. So maybe that loss will get better as things go on, if a 22-point loss can get better as things go on. But as we sit one game out from the Big Ten Conference and things get underway for Indiana December 23rd against Northwestern, they play Northwestern, Illinois, and Penn State before the new year. Where do you stack this Indiana team? Where do you think they're headed? What type of ceiling do you think they have?
Well, I know I just downgraded North Alabama, but it was really good for Indiana's future to see Armon Franklin knocking down so many jumpers, because we all know the shooting is the Achilles heel of the team the last few years. And if, Allen Durham gets his ankle back, he had showed some good shooting abilities. Rob Finney has had some moments where he's hit a couple threes in a short burst. And now if Armin Franklin is shooting, then you have the balance to go with the really strong inside game that they have. And they have one of the best inside games in the country, led by Trace Jackson Davis and a very much improved Ray Thompson. And they're guarding, I think, Matt, they're 10th in the country in defensive efficiency. So I think their outlook's pretty good. And, you know, that December 26th game at Illinois will teach us a lot. But they have a pretty good slate to start the Big Ten, and with 3 or 4 at home, and it should be going into the early January in a pretty good note, I would bet.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, our guest, Aminu Muhammad. He's going to commit on December 21st. You guys have been all over his recruitment and talk with his guardian recently. I don't get any feel when I read your reports, when I read other people that talk to Sean Harmon, Aminu's guardian, on who the leader is, if Indiana has a legitimate chance, or if we should be totally shocked if he were to pick Indiana on December 21st. Do you feel that way as well, that this thing is really guarded and highly up in the air?
Yeah, when the kid doesn't talk and it's left up to an adult who's run other recruitments, you often don't get a feel for where things are leaning, because a younger personality is going to maybe open up a little bit more on what he likes and dislikes. I do think Indiana might be second behind Georgia, if you put a gun to my head on this one. And Tom Crean's ability to say, hey, I got, number one pick in this past draft. I've gotten Victor Oladipo and Dwayne Wade in the top five, six of the draft, and they've gone on to superstar NBA careers. That is weighing on this recruitment. But we'll see what happens. I think Indiana is at least in the top two here.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. Mike, thanks for checking in this week. We'll do it again next Tuesday.
All right. Talk to you then.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. We'll be back Wednesday. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com scheduled to be with us, as is Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, to talk local sports and high school basketball. And coming up later this week, we'll have the Jeff Silver Creek game on Friday night at 7:10 with pregame coverage. And on Saturday, 4A number one Carmel comes to town. They'll play at the Doghouse. We'll have that broadcast coming your way at 7:10 Saturday here on the Big X Sports Radio. Don't forget, if you miss a program, and we do this show each weekday at 11 a.m., you can catch the podcast on Apple Podcast or SoundCloud. All you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. And if you would, leave us a rating or a review while you're there. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in this radio program. Have a great Tuesday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.